on Tuesday night this week. So when you go home tonight, you can look at all your friends and go, you missed it. It was tonight, not tomorrow night. No, I'm just teasing with you. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians. We were counting when we were sitting in here earlier, and it was four of us. We started counting when people came through the door. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. Hey, we're doing double digits now. Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll be tonight. 242 years ago tomorrow is when the Second Continental Congress met and signed the Declaration of Independence, or actually adopted the Declaration of Independence. And among the words of this document we read, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, these truths are surely guaranteed by our Creator. We see life, and not just a physical life, but an eternal life. An eternal life with a choice where we can choose where to spend it. Because God is willing to allow man to have free will. Happiness, but not circumstantial happiness that so many people lean on, but a happiness that is brought on by the real joy that Christ gives us. But tonight I want to look at a little section of Scripture, and I want us to understand something about liberty tonight. And as we look at liberty tonight, I want to get a good grip on the freedom that we have when we enjoy a true Christian liberty. Galatians chapter 5, Paul speaks of this. We'll start down in verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you, before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, would you just help me? God, I want to make sure that the things that I say are those things which are honorable and those things which would bring glory unto you. God, we want to make sure that this whole Bible lesson is from you and about you. God, I pray that you would just take me out of it. Don't let me be in a part of the equation at all. And God, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of everyone who is in here tonight so that each one of us can get exactly what we need. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, where one believer may interpret liberty as license, it's very easy for another Christian to carry it to the farthest extreme from that and slip into a legalism. But it's the liberty of Christ that gives us a spot right there in the middle, where we can come to a point where we can see these things which God is telling us about walking in the Spirit against walking in the flesh, and we understand that the freedom that we get is the liberty that we have. See, once we get too far in that one side and we allow it to be licensed, well, then we're really enslaved to sin. Because we'll say, it just whatever is okay. God's grace covers it all. But that shows a lack of understanding of what God's grace really is. And when we go to the far end of that and we slip into legalism, then we actually enslave ourselves to the law, because now we have to say that, hey, these are the rules that we must abide by. And as we look through this section of Scripture tonight, I want us to really focus on where we are in our life. Which side of that pendulum are we on, or are we in that middle point where true Christian liberty is? Because if you're not, we need to try and line ourselves up so that we are where the Spirit would have us, so that we can get a full understanding. I want us to see, first of all, that the Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love. Now, if we go back and we start in verse 13 again, we see, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." You understand that liberty is a calling within itself. God has called us into liberty. And why has He done that? Because He has called us with grace. And as we look and we see, it says that this liberty is not to be used on the occasion of the flesh, and it's not to be consumed that way, but by love serve one another. Can I tell you that liberty plus love equals service to others? But liberty minus love equals license. See, the word love, and Paul talks about it right here. He said that for all the law is fulfilled in one word. And that one word is love. You know, if we loved one another the way we should, then we wouldn't steal from them. We wouldn't murder them. We wouldn't be bad toward them. We would love them. And so we have to understand that love is the root of this freedom. Love is the root of this liberty. When Paul talks about the love that's in our hearts, it's God kind of substitutes the love that He puts in our hearts for the law that was written and given to Moses. If we think about love, it fills all of it. The first four commandments, if we just love God with all our heart, mind, and our soul, then we'll not commit those sins against God. The rest of them toward man, if we love one another as we love ourselves, then we won't commit those sins toward man either. So it's all wrapped up in what Paul says here in that one word, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's all wrapped up in love. If we love them, we won't lie to them. If we love them, we won't steal from them. If we love them, we'll take care of them. But if we're not, maybe we would be like the Galatians. Because obviously this was not a trait that they had going on here. Look at verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another." Evidently there was some bad mouthing, some backbiting, some talk, some things that were going on, some ill feelings one toward another, and could be because of this big pendulum swing that they had, and some who were giving away to licensing, some who were giving away to following the law to the letter of the law, and there was just no love. But I want us to look and see that not only is that one of the things that we need to look at, but the Spirit also enables us to overcome the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? It's not this body. It's the old nature that's within us, right? And so how can we see what's going on? Well, first of all, we have to see the conflict that's going on. Because first of all, the Spirit and the flesh do not get along. You ever wanted to do something, but knew it wasn't right? Is there a struggle that takes place within your heart, within your mind? Maybe it's, we run all our young people off. I mean, we've got some up here, but most of them are downstairs. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't have them in here. But I'm saying that I can't use them as an example, but I can use me. When I was younger, I would know when I came home from places that I wasn't supposed to be, and my mom asked me that question, "Where have you been?" In my heart, I knew what I should tell her. I should tell her the truth. But there was that thing going on in my mind going, you tell her the truth and she's probably going to stomp you right here in front of everybody. And so there was a conflict that was going on. Do you tell the truth? Do you tell a lie? You know, we fight those kind of conflicts every day in our lives. I won't even go there. So how do we look at this? How do we see this conflict? What about the Bible? How does the Bible show us so many differences between the nature? You know, sometimes you read something, and you read it over and over and over and over and over, and you finally pick up something that helps you understand something just one little bit better. You know, if we think about Noah, and we go back into to when Noah released the raven out of the ark, you know, in just reading that, it says that Noah took a raven and let it go, and it never came back. No more explanation. Where'd the raven go? Well, we have to go back and kind of figure out that the raven is you know, it's a flesh-eating kind of bird. It's going to go out and it's going to find things. Well, the ark had come to rest, and so the raven flew out. Man, it found all kinds of things to eat. Dead stuff everywhere. But the dove came back. You know, sometimes we're like that raven. We'll look for any unclean thing to feast on. Where the dove was looking for something clean. That dove is a bird that's going to eat grains and fruit and those. And so it couldn't find anything. Why? Because there was no new life out there yet. It was still just death and destruction. Once Noah let the dove loose again and it didn't come back, then he knew, hey, new life has sprung up. Now, isn't it interesting that, like I say, we have that tendency to want to feed on the unclean. Why? Because we're not experiencing that new life every day like we ought to. You know, we get saved. And we say, oh, I've got a brand new life. Everything's new. All things are washed away. All things are passed away. But you know what? We don't get up every morning living like it's something new. We get up a lot of mornings and we trudge back to the old and forget that there's new life out there. There's new things that we need to experience. There's new people that we're going to come across today. And if we would come across these new people with the love that God has given in our lives, what a difference it might make. You know, there are people out there who are starving for love. So how do we overcome that? Well, of course, you know, we know we've overcome it when Christ actually gave us new life. When he was crucified on the cross, we were crucified with him, right? That's the whole point. And we're crucified with him. Why? That he would pay that penalty of death. We're given the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we have that power over sin in our lives on a daily basis. But yet sometimes we just squelch the Holy Spirit within our lives with all these other things that are going on. But we've got to understand that we've got to make sure that crucifixion is something that we realize every day. It's not something that just happened and we're, you know, well, after that, we just kind of go along and trudge through the rest of the year. We have to understand that that crucifixion was something that lasts a lifetime and into eternity for us. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Jesus died that crucifixion for us. Now, we can't crucify ourselves. Do you know that would be one way of suicide that you could not commit? You can't do that. It's physically impossible to crucify yourself. But we can enter into that crucifixion just by believing. We enter into that crucifixion. We enter into that just by saying, you know what? Jesus, you did that. I believe that. And therefore, the Spirit gives us and enables us to overcome our fleshly desires. And we look through here and we see this long list. Paul says in 16, he said, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But listen to what it says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And we get this long list here. And of course, if you divide them up, the sensual sins and the superstitious sins. I mean, we could split them up in all different ways here. But as we go through this list, what is the first thing that we see? It says, now the works of the flesh are this. And as we look at this long list that goes down through here, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. I mean, what a list of things. And we sit there and go, well, these are the things that the flesh work on. These are the things that the flesh, if left alone, would accomplish. Well, you look at it and you say, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drunk. I'm not a fornicator. I'm not an adulterer. But you know, when we look and we see those things and we look at this list and we go, hey, you know what? I don't do all those things. I don't do those things. I don't do this. I don't do that. What are we doing? We're looking at a rule and saying, but I follow the rules. But you know, our Christian life and the liberty is not about following the rules. It's about grace. It's about the grace that God gives us. And what should we be doing then? Instead of saying, hey, I don't do those things, we should be showing these other things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we could emulate those things in our lives, if we could just show people love, if we could show the joy that we really have within our hearts, if we could show them the peace that God gives us that passes all understanding, that's what the people are starting for. You know, you can walk into a factory and you may find a machine and it's going to work. And that machine may produce something that looks like fruit. It may smell like fruit. It may taste like fruit. But can I tell you, if it comes from a machine, it is not fruit. Fruit comes from life. And so it's not a works thing that we're thinking of. So we're not looking at this list of the bad things and saying, don't do those. Because now I'm accomplishing works. So I get away from those. I look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, these are things I need to accomplish. When people see that I have love and joy and peace and long-suffering, if they see those things in my life, they don't have to wonder, am I involved in adultery and lasciviousness? And they don't wonder about that. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit shows in your life that you're not involved with those things. So We see that the Spirit enables us to overcome the lust of the flesh, and lastly, it also enables us to produce that fruit. Now, Christian, you were telling us you planted fruit trees in your yard, right? How are they coming? They're green? No fruit? No fruit. All right. You know what? And I'm not saying Christian did the wrong thing here. But can I tell you? Not all fruit grows in the same climates. If you decided tomorrow that you were going to move to Macon and you were going to open a pineapple farm, you're probably going to go broke. Soil's not conducive for that kind of fruit to grow in it. It's too hard. It's too dry. You're still too far north that we're going to get cold enough winters. You're going to get frozen ground. It's just not going to work. It's just not the right climate. Can I tell you that the fruits of the Spirit have to be grown in the right climate? If you're trying to grow the fruits of the Spirit and you're trying to produce those fruits, but yet you're living with bitterness, anger, wrath, those kind of things in your life, guess what? Wrong soil, no fruit. And so if you wonder, well, why don't I feel that love towards somebody? Maybe it's because you're planting your seeds in the wrong ground. It's time to look around, figure out the things that you can. It needs to be grown in such a way because fruit is not to be admired. Christian, if you have apples on your apple tree tomorrow, you're going to go out there and you go, wow, that looks pretty good. But you're not going to go, I'm going to invite all my neighbors over. I'm going to see my apples on my apple tree. I mean, that's not what it's for. Well, you might. You know, that's your first batch. You might invite a few over. But you're not going to just let them sit there on the apple tree till they rot, are you? No, you're going to pick those things. Why? Because they're meant to be consumed. You may even share one with Becky. But the fact is fruit's meant to be consumed. It's meant to be out there. Remember, I told you earlier, there are people out there who are starving for love. They're starving for joy. They need what we have the capability of producing through the Holy Spirit. If we don't make the ground and proper and get in the right climate, we're not going to be able to produce good fruit. And if we'll produce good fruit and others see it, others will consume it. And others will produce it. Love begets love. If I show earnest love towards somebody else, they'll show earnest love toward me and someone else. It's that multiplication thing. 2 make 4. 4 make 8. 8. Forgot I had too many fingers there. But it continues. And so what we're looking at is we want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's make the climate conducive for that. Let's make the soil suitable for that. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, say, look, this is your fruit. It's not mine. I just produce it because you grow it in me. What's keeping it down? What's causing it not to grow? What nutrients am I missing? What's missing from my soul that's not causing me to produce the fruit that I need? Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Pointing everything toward God. Giving Him the glory. The Holy Spirit living inside of us can cause us to produce this fruit so that others see it. And isn't that what we want? True Christian liberty is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Having freedom from sin, freedom from self, and overcoming the flesh, being led by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just pray and we thank You. God, though it's so easy for us to put on this Christian outfit and yet really forget what our true goal is. Oh God, that the Holy Spirit would produce the fruit that we need to, Lord, to share with a world that's hurting. God, let love show through our hearts to the unlovable. Let joy show through the trials of our lives so that others see You. God, the peace that passes understanding, let it wash over us so that those see it and are drawn to You. God, the things that You've given us all point to You if we'll let it. God, help us. Help me to be the kind of person that Your fruit shows through. We ask these things now in Jesus' precious and His holy name. Amen.